Greetings, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again on another gorgeous afternoon in the Roaring Fork Valley. I'm Luke Messler. Well, it's strange to talk about Five Point Film Festival in October instead of April, but I guess that's what a pandemic will do to you. Like most of the rest of the arts world, this year's Five Point Film Festival is virtual, going live next Wednesday, October 14th at 7 p.m., and then also Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. with a new program each evening. Sunday the 18th, we'll see a Changemakers program at 3 p.m. and an Award Winners program at 7. You can learn more about Five Point, buy tickets, and see the entire film program at fivepointfilm.org. As usual, the program features everything from adventure porn to heartwarming personal stories to new films from new voices around the country. Just some of the things you'll find on this year's program: Wild Things That Never Stop Playing, The World Champion Stone Skipper, how about that? Waterlogged Good Samaritans in Oregon, The Last Fire Lookout in North America, Stoke Chasers of Every Kind, Mormons versus Punk Rock Climbers, The World Eskimo Indian Olympics, A Landlocked Surf Posse, and The Magic and Madness of Lockdown Through a Six-Year-Old's Eyes. If that's not enough to attract your attention, then you can roll over and take another nap. Well, I have the chance to speak with Oliver Sutro, a local filmmaker with a Five Point debut called One Man's Trash. We'll hear from him in just a bit. But first, I have with me here in the studio Michael C.B. Stevens, who made the film Beyond the Backyard, which screens on the Changemakers program Sunday afternoon at 3. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, welcome. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Luke. Thanks for having me here. And yeah, I was racing down Valley to get here. I took a mountain bike ride a little too long, so I'm happy I made it in time.
Well, I am too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would have paid.
No doubt.
Hey, tell me about your film. You took a trip down the Potomac River, didn't you?
Yeah. The film, it's a 12 and a half minute film. It's based on me and my childhood best friend, Grant. The two of us grew up together, kind of just getting into shenanigans. I've known him since I was three. And it was kind of a wild trip. We had this idea to go from our backyard to the Chesapeake Bay and bike back, all self-supported. And as you'll see in the film, we learned some things and nothing really went right. So.
Yeah. And that's when it gets good, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think the saying is like, can I curse on this radio station or is
no?
Okay, so it's not an adventure till something goes wrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's the saying.
I'm glad you guys were friends because he was flipping you off all the time.
I guess you got the inside scoop on that. I think like any good friendship, you got to push each other or else like why else do it, you know? So I think he pushes me and I get to capture him at his worst. And I edited the film, so I made him look bad, you know? That was the point.
Well, yeah. I was kind of surprised to see a lot of whitewater on the Potomac. I had no idea.
Yeah, there's Great Falls National Park, which if you're a boater, which I'm not, I guess I am now. But if you're a true boater, you know about Great Falls. It's massive 20-foot drops, waterfalls,
wow.
just less than a mile from where I grew up. And I grew up hearing about it and being scared of it. We obviously didn't do it because we were in inflatable rafts and none of us are extreme enough. But we had bikes on our boat, so I can only imagine what would go wrong. But basically, there's incredible whitewater on the Potomac River. And I think that was something that we wanted to bring people's attention to, in one way or another. Yeah.
And one of the other things that you brought attention to was the fact, sadly, that there's a lot of pollution in that river.
Yeah, I think the film is, basically, for everyone, without it spoiling the film, there's two storylines in the film. It's the storyline of our trip, which you talked about, and then there's the storyline of kind of the history of pollution in this river. And again, without giving too much away, it's made a miraculous comeback, but what does that mean, really? How do you measure a living being? How do you measure an ecosystem? Like, how do you say something is recovered? I think what we all find is that you can't, and these things they're constantly adapting and evolving and shifting. And if we're not taking care of them and we're just putting things in without taking note of it, then, you know, things can happen. So yeah, when you watch the film, you'll see quite literally things go wrong, and I think that's what makes the trip and the story meaningful to us. Yeah.
Did you know about those problems prior to this trip, or were your eyes opened on the trip?
No, it's a great question. I mean, we knew the Potomac was bad because we grew up swimming in it, and we'd get ear infections. You'd always hear, "Oh, there's E. coli in the river. Don't swim in it." Triathlons would get canceled, but. You know, I mean, I worked closely with some nonprofits on this film and wanted the research. I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to just kind of like say things and not back it up. And in doing some research, you know, I was like, oh, wow, okay, like it's healthy. It's rated a B. Like, whatever, what does that mean, you know? But I didn't quite know what it meant when they said, hey, there's sewage being pumped into the water. Like, I had no clue. And then, well, we found out. So yes and yes. I knew, but I did not know the extent, and I learned. We learned firsthand, you know, what that meant. So, yeah.
Is the 5-point screening of this film a premiere?
You know, actually, it's not. I would have loved to give it the 5-point, and had it been in the spring, I think we would have. But it's a Colorado premiere. This film was made to be seen at 5 Point. You know, it screened in DC at DC's International Shorts Film Festival, which was a total pleasure and honor. And 5 Point, though, was ultimately the goal. And to be here in the hometown and have it screen here, it's all my dreams coming true, you know, aside from a pandemic. But, you know, I can't be too picky, right? So, yeah, you know, and the film's about being in your backyard, and for this festival, being in my backyard. It's quite a treat. Yeah.
Is this your first film that's received festival appearances?
Again, yes and no. You know, I 5 Point screened a film that I shot and edited back in 2017 called 10 Years Out. And I was the, you know, director of photography and the editor on it, but I wasn't the director. And so in a way, but you know, this is, I would say, my directorial debut is what they always ask you in the industry. Which I think it's fitting. There's another actual festival in Santa Fe that's screening another film of mine at the exact same time during 5 Point, a film that I made with Outside Magazine. But you know, this is as close to the heart as it can get. You know, telling a story about yourself and about your best friend where you grew up. You know,
How did you get bit by the filmmaking bug? How did that happen in your life?
Yeah, it's funny. No one's really ever asked me that. Well, that's not true. A couple friends have, but. Well, you know, my dad had always had like little VCR cameras around, and if you know, in the film, you'll see there's archival footage of Grant and I, you know, messing around in the woods, going doing stuff. And this is before we knew what adventure film was, but we were just trespassing people's backyards, you know, and trying to like cause a stir. And we were always doing daredevil stuff. We watched the movie, or the movies Jackass put out, that, you know, that with Steve-O and all those guys, and we wanted to be them. And so we picked up cameras and we started doing that. And then, you know, when I actually came to college, I was going through a breakup and I took a filmmaking class. And then little do you know, I was living in my van, broke down in Aspen, and got a job at a TV station. And so that was 5 years ago. And here I am today. You know, there's no clear path. And I think that's the most important thing to know, is that you just kind of have to go out and make it. And if you're not able to do that, then... well, you need help too along the way, I should say. So, and I've gotten plenty of that.
And a little bit of luck.
Yeah. Too. Oh, plenty of luck. Yeah, yeah. All the luck in the world.
What's next for you and your filmmaking?
Thanks. Yeah, that's a great question. I've made a couple of things since. You know, I've made shorts that 5 Point screen, one of them on Andrew Riggers, who's a local athlete here. But I'm making a longer form piece about a trip to Denali I took last year, Denali Mountain in Alaska. And it's on a friend of mine who is processing her own story through her exploits in the mountains. And that, we haven't come up with a title yet, but, you know, I'm still editing that. And then I'm currently talking with some people about trying to find a feature film to dig my teeth in and start going that route and kind of level up another notch. So hopefully that's in the cards. We'll see.
Well, that's Michael C.B. Stevens. Thank you, Michael,
hey,
for joining
Luke,
us.
Luke, it's a pleasure, and thank you so much for giving me the outlet and the time.
You betcha. All right, now let's listen to Oliver Sutro, who directed One Man's Trash, playing the 5 Point Film Festival next Friday at 7. Oliver Sutro joins the program now. Welcome, Oliver.
Hi, thanks for having me, Luke.
Well, thank you for joining us. We're talking because your film, I guess it's a new film. Is it a new film, One Man's Trash?
Yeah, it's a new film. It's just doing the rounds in festivals right now, but it was made last summer.
Okay. And one of those festivals is the Five Point Festival, which starts next week virtually. So that's kind of nice. Is this your debut at Five Point?
This is my debut at Five Point, and I've only lived in Carbondale for a couple years now, so it's pretty exciting for me to have something in a local festival.
Yeah, that is exciting. How did it come about? Did you just submit it like every other aspiring filmmaker?
Yeah, I submitted it just like everyone else through Film Freeway, and they liked it, so I'm in. But, yeah. No serious connections there.
Okay. Tell people a little bit about what One Man's Trash is all about.
Well, it all started. It's a film about my friend Bennett, and I won a competition I won an entry to a competition to make a travel adventure film, and when you got accepted to this. This competition, you got $2,000 and you get to go on a little adventure. And I wanted to take the money and just totally blow it on something ridiculous. It was a competition sponsored by Tapui, who make rooftop tents. And they make rooftop tents for, like big cars, like 4x4s, real tough guys who go like overlanding and camping in their like SUVs. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take the money and buy the stupidest car that we can find and put a rooftop tent on it. And I did a road trip with Bennett through the wealthiest summering locations in the U.S. that we could think of. Aspen would have been a decent one, but we ended up going with Martha's Vineyard and Block Island and on some of these sort of old money locations with our really old, decrepit car and rooftop tent. And it's just sort of about our travel around the East Coast and a little bit about Bennett's history and the backstory of his dad recently passing and him trying to find a new direction in his life.
Well, I bet crashing out in parking lots in Martha's Vineyard went over really well with the locals.
Yeah, we would get a lot of weird looks driving around in our beat-up Cadillac. We had a deer skull that we found washed up on the beach, strapped to the front. Buoys hanging off the back, and it definitely stood out. And there weren't a lot of places that we were technically allowed to park or camp, so it was all sort of all sort of frightening when we were sleeping in the middle of the night, whether a policeman was going to roll up and tell us to move. But I guess that's just how it goes when you're living out of your car.
Well, as a filmmaker, that's kind of what you want, right? A little tension.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I've seen those rooftop tents, but I've never seen one on top of a Cadillac, so that's a nice touch.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. I mean, that or like an old police car would have been a good one for us. But it's a soft-top Cadillac and had all the luxury accommodations of the 1990s in it, electric seats, leather, like heated seats, electric windows, lots of really funny gadgets in it that I imagine the 90s would have been really interesting to people.
Well, a Cadillac's big enough to crash in the back seat, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you could, maybe.
But that doesn't get your rooftop tent, which is probably not a usual sight in some of these places.
No, definitely not usual.
How did you get the idea to do this?
I've wanted to spend some time on the East Coast for a while and do a trip there. And Bennett's dad recently had passed away, and he uprooted himself from Telluride. He was a fly fishing guide there and a ski instructor, and he decided to move back to New York and try and get a serious job, like get a job in real estate. And I thought it would be a good time to just go on a little trip with him and just have fun with it. I think it ended up being really good for him, and now he's back in Telluride. He's given up his life as a a realtor, and he's back to living how he likes to live. It's like a sort of a cowboy, fly fishing guide, ski bum.
Nice. Telluride's your hometown, isn't it?
I've lived in Telluride for a little bit, but I'm actually originally from L.A.
Oh, okay.
I landed in Telluride after college.
Okay.
For skiing.
And now you live in Carbondale.
And now I live in Carbondale.
Cool. How did the filmmaking bug hit you? How did that happen in your life?
I've been into photography since high school. And when I graduated college, I just sort of got jobs here and there, but mostly traveled around and took photos when I could and slowly built up a portfolio. And it was something that I was passionate to do for no money at all. And it was always in the back of my head that perhaps I could make a go at making it a career. And eventually I just sort of decided to quit my job and go for it full time. And that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And it was definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. No one wants to pay you to do this stuff, really. starting out, it's a field where you're facing constant rejection. But I am happy to be living a comfortable life now, or somewhat comfortable. Still a lot of rejection, but I'm used to it.
You have a lot of corporate clients. I guess that's probably your bread and butter.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bread and butter for most people in the video world is making ads. For me, that's editing and shooting, mostly video ads. But I get hired to do commercial photo campaigns for, like, mostly outdoor companies, but like Yeti and TFO, which is a rod company, sort of people like that. I do a lot of stuff in the fishing and outdoor space, but I shoot some stuff locally in Aspen, some skiing, some lifestyle.
In one of your film reels, I think it was the 2018 film reel that's on your website, oliversutro.com, one of the characters in that reel turns to the camera and says, "Yes, Oliver, what are we doing here?" Is that your mission statement, figuring out the answer to that question?
My mission statement overall is do what you want for a while.
For a while.
No. I mean, everyone has this thing in the back of their head, and they're afraid to tell their family, they're afraid to tell their friends this thing that they've always wanted to try. Just do it for a little bit. Just try it. I mean, the worst you can do is fail and go back to doing what you were doing. But just do what you want for a little bit.
Huh. Interesting. It seems to have worked for you.
Yeah, I mean, somewhat, you know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. There's ups and downs to it, but yeah, I think it's good.
Well, you're still young, right? How old are you?
I'm 28,
so
but I'll be 29 in a month.
So, and you've been shooting documentaries, little films like this for how long? A few years?
Probably 6 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly short stuff. And I don't really get that much time to shoot documentaries or little films like this. This is all this sort of stuff is passion projects that, you know, really isn't funded. We took all the money from this competition and threw it at a Cadillac. The goal wasn't to make a film for this competition. It was to make a film for ourselves.
There you go. And it's an entertaining film, too. So One Man's Trash appearing at this year's virtual 5-Point Film Festival. And Oliver Sutro, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Luke. It was great chatting.
And before Oliver, we heard from Michael C.B. Stevens. Both of those gentlemen have films in this year's 5-Point Film Festival, which comes to a computer near you starting next Wednesday. And you can get all the details at the number 5pointfilm.org. Don't go anywhere. Symphony in the Valley up next on today's show.